Hello, hello. Another episode of And Introducing is here. This is Molly O'Brien from the pod. We're not talking words about music today. We are talking words with musicians. That's right. It's an artist interview. You might have listened to our interview with Dan Beckner a few months ago. We've gotten our shit together. We've banked some episodes with some musicians and artists that we're very excited to talk to, who we think are doing cool shit. And we're going to talk to them. We're going to talk to them about a bunch of stuff, and it's going to be great. We're going to love it. You're going to love it. So today on the pod, we are talking to Emily Ash and Kayla Asbell of the New York City band 95 Bulls. They do not play professional basketball, but they do play some amazing, good old-fashioned rock and roll music. Y'all heard of this shit? Emily's on vocals, Kayla's on keys. Chris and I go semi-way back with 95 Bulls. About 3 minutes before the pandemic started, I caught a set by Emily's previous band, Ash Jesus. And then after things, you know, kind of progressed in that old pandemic, I filmed a 95 Bulls live stream at the venue Our Wicked Lady. And then Chris booked 95 Bulls for the virtual festival he produced in the summer of 2021. Since then, they have released an album, which is 2022's Go Home. We've seen quite a few of their live shows around New York City, and we just think that they are the bee's knees. So we are stoked to talk to them about what they've been cooking up in the studio for their next album. We talk about the power of Benihana. We do talk about basketball a little bit, and much, much more. So stay tuned, and it's the podcast will happen to you if you keep listening to it.
Let's go ahead and start the episode. How about this?
Sure, yeah. I was going to start the episode with how are you guys doing? But yeah, you can be...
Oh, I was going to do the thing.
Okay, great. Yeah, cue it up.
Hi, and welcome to And Introducing, a podcast about words, about music. I'm Chris Wade.
I'm Molly O'Brien.
And introducing on lead vox, on keys, from the 95 Bulls, we have here Emily Ash and Kayla Asbell. Long-term fans of the extended Chris and Molly universe of products will know 95 Bulls as the band that stepped in last minute to play Frequency Fest in June of 2021, the streaming music and podcast festival that I put together with the help of Zane from Pickathon. Molly was actually the first one of us to work with 95 Bulls, doing more remote video concert stuff over pandemic.
Oh right, yes, that was the Our Wicked Lady.
Dude, you saw our first show ever, our first set ever.
That's crazy. Wow, that's actually wild. Also, I feel like your eyes are doing the same thing as mine, where we're rolling back in our heads and like calculating like what has happened over the past several years, because it's confusing.
So after the Bulls graciously stepped in to fill in for the headliner who dropped out last minute of that festival, they became a runaway hit among the fans or the watchers of that festival, and a runaway hit in the hearts of me and Molly, who
of course
have since seen them play, gosh, at least a half dozen times, probably
it might be closer to like 10.
certainly one of both of our favorite bands in the New York scene right now. And so when we started doing these artist interviews, we were like first on the call sheet, get them on the pod, 95 Bulls. Hey guys, what's
up? Oh my God. Yeah, so honored. What an intro. That's crazy.
See, I guess we should be glad I let you do the intro.
Context, history. We're not just going to drop in here. People need to know how this came together.
Yeah, I just want you to like introduce everything in my life. Like that would be so like the most mundane things going down. Would be great.
Well, we're pros at this point. So now we can get to Molly's first question.
How are you? How are you both doing today? What's up? What's on your mind?
Kayla, you first.
Oh God. I feel like how are you should be a question just like retired out of existence in the last few years. It's like
am I?
Really? You really want to know? I'm just kidding.
The amount of calculus that it takes to get to an answer. But good. would be the answer, I suppose.
Great.
Yeah, just been busy with music and writing and yeah, with some theater things. Things are good.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on the same page as Kayla. I'm good, busy, which is a good thing in my mind. Right now it's kind of crazy because you guys know us. We play like a billion shows a month usually, and we've kind of stopped doing that when we're like regrouping everything and really trying to focus on writing a full length record now.
Wow.
And go as long as we can and have as much music ready to go for the next time we step out in the world kind of for real.
How does it feel to not be like, are you like itching and scratching, or are you like happy to be chilling out a little bit?
Both, but like, I don't know. It feels like imposter syndrome now. I'm like, was that all a real thing? Are we still doing this? What's going on?
You're not playing, you're not existing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, do I see myself anymore? Kayla, do you feel that way?
A little bit. It feels a little luxurious too, to be able to like take a moment to like really focus on the direction that we want to head in. And like, we're expanding our sound. We're taking time to experiment and try some new things. So I do have the itch to play out, but I'm also luxuriating in this process.
I feel like a band at your guys' level, that precious quantity of momentum, must feel like really, you know, intense and needed. And that playing constantly is the thing that it feels like the engine, yes, of momentum. And then like having, right, to take some time off to generate new material, as all bands need to do, then you're like, am I wasting that valuable currency that I've built up?
Yes. Right. And but it's kind of a trap, right? When you're like, oh, I'm playing, I have to keep playing out to generate momentum. And then you're like, well, fuck, like we've just been 2 years are going by now. Yeah. It's time to sit back and like, you know, have more. I mean, because what are we building up momentum for if we don't, yeah, have the new stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that it's been such a blessing too, because we've changed a lot. And I think we can now, that first record we love a lot. But like, we've grown up a lot too, I think, as like musicians. And there's a lot of stuff that we want to try, and we want to play with dynamics more than we have. And now we have the space to do that. It was loud and fast, which is great. And I'd like, I think we both like for it to be loud and fast, but also
more complex, perhaps.
I'm sure after doing some of those songs for now, like 4, almost 5 years, they must be like Husker Du songs, how fast and tight you're playing them.
That's true. I mean, we've had like a couple people like rotate in and out now, mm-hmm, of the band. So like that, it's been fun for them. And they're like, yay, this new set. And we're like, all right, Sailor, don't get used to it.
Will you, you know, I don't want to go into full like, you know, like Kurt Loder MTV news of like, so in the studio, like, what are you guys doing that's new? But like, what, you know, any hints or, you know, sneak peeks at the new direction or the new directions?
I think we're going in a darker direction. Like, it's, you know, it was always loud and aggressive, but I think we're allowing, not a downer by any means. It's still going to have like the same like high powered energy, but I think we're just going into like, we're letting it be more complex, I guess. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're trying like different tones. We're trying, you know, I've always been pretty locked into, I have always played like analog organs, and I've always kind of just used that sound. And now I'm like, oh, there are other sounds in this world. And like, yeah, just branching out. We're all kind of, yep, just experimenting, and
we're, yeah, making ourselves uncomfortable in a good way. Yeah. Just to figure it out. Like for me, I've always had like, maybe like I'll be like, throw a little slap back on there for like vocals. But I like, generally speaking, especially when recording, I've always had like dry vocals for the most part. It's always been like, I would like to be able to experiment and play a little more with stuff in that way. And I think dynamics for me would be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, maybe I'll sing.
I think of that initial batch of 95 Bulls songs as all very like shiny and sharp. And it sounds like you're going for maybe more of a like a gloom, maybe more of a heaviness or a pretentiousness.
Yeah.
Not pretentious.
Pretentious.
It's cool. Kayla's been wearing a fedora to all of our practices.
I'm trying to make
and
it work.
I'm not speaking in between practices to preserve my voice.
Honey tea.
I think it's not like a gloom, but I think it's just like a different kind of sharpness, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's not like a bright, dazzling sharpness. It's like a grittier.
Yeah. We're just taking a little more time. We're in in our moments.
Yeah.
And that feels nice. I think we're seeing what would happen if we gave it a little more space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mostly, I think a lot of our sharp is a good way to put it, because I think a lot of those songs were like, we're here, we're there, we're done. And I think that now we're like, we're here, but what if we went over there for a little while and then we just hung out there?
Yeah. And it was born out of a really different moment. Like, we were coming out of lockdown, basically. So I think it was just a lot of like a burst of energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For me, and experiencing your guys' music, that is a very specific time that I put to it, especially because I get really getting introduced to you with that streaming festival, which I'm very pleased with, but did really come like right at the last moment that was like really needed.
Another week after Frequency Fest, like everyone's vaccines like kicked in and everyone went outside. Like, it was like the last weekend it probably could have happened.
Yeah. It was a grand finale.
Yeah. But then I like started seeing you guys play around more, and I really associate, you know, 95 Bulls and you know, those songs that I heard in that first set as being like, yeah, music's back, punk's back, you know, DIY's back in New York. And it was like a lot of the groups that I remember from before that have kind of moved on. And I really always thought of you guys as like, oh, great. Like, there's still like groups here working on it. It felt like you guys are just like exploding out of the pandemic, being like, we are like, New York rock's still a scene.
And that's something we don't want to lose, and I don't think we will in this next record, but like, the explosiveness is so important to what we're doing. It's just like a different, I think, different type now, which will be fun. But that was a crazy time. And I'm so glad that we did wind up meeting you at that moment. And I think I've run into a couple, I mean, Pom Pom Squad, I've run into them a couple times, and we've like reminisced on that specific event. Because we were just kind of we were like in the outback, like waiting for our time to go on. And we were just chain smoking outside in like the dead heat. I remember it was like, it was super hot. It was summer. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
But it was also like an exciting, it was sort of like a coy time where like you couldn't, like coming out of a time where you couldn't be that close to each other. So like
the
connections that you made in that time, it felt like fun and flirty.
It was like sexual tension.
Let's talk. Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to get a little closer to your bubble, if that's okay.
I'm going to puncture your pod.
Yeah.
Should we take it back and ask maybe just a little bit about like the history, like how 95 Bulls came together to begin with, and maybe even further back of like both of your individual kind of musical journeys to this moment?
For us, I think we were like a true pandemic band in the sense that like some of us didn't know each in the initial like lineup of the band. I know I knew like our first guitar player, Zach, and I knew our drummer who didn't come till later, Zach, our current drummer. We had another drummer who like doesn't live here anymore. There was like all these iterations that initially happened, and it was just to get together and jam. We were just trying to find a group of people to like meet up and become like a pod and hang out. And it was not supposed to be serious, because everyone in the initial lineup had another band.
Okay.
And we were like, we're going to get back to that once the world reopens. But for now, this is our safe space, because all of our bandmates are spread across the country and whatnot. Zach was in Nashville, though, at the time. And then as soon as he got back from Nashville, I was like, you are our drummer now. I was like, okay. And he still is.
Kayla, what were you doing? You know, what was your pre-95 Bulls musical, you know, evolution? Where were you tickling the ivories?
I started playing in a garage band, and I was just like trying to have a flashback of like, what year is it? What year was it? It was like 14 years ago or something, I was in a band called The Other Men, and which was like 60s garage, but like the garage punk aggressive fun thing, which was a hoot. And actually our current bass player, Owinima, we were in that band together.
Nice.
And he was the keyboard player before me, and The Other Men moved to bass. I started playing keyboard, and the rest is history.
So kind of like a Nuggets type thing.
Yeah, but it was it had some of the kind of 90s revival of the like Billy Childish kind of more mean-spirited maybe. And then I was also in a punk band called Bipolar. I still am. Mm-hmm. We're playing every once in a blue moon, but yeah, that band's a ton of fun, but everyone was spread to the wind.
Yeah, it was like necessity.
Have you both kind of like always been in bands, or is it something you came to through other means, or is it just like been playing with groups as long as it's been possible?
Personally, I stopped doing music right after high school. I was in a band with my best friend since I was like, 13. We had many different names and they were all terrible. And she passed away when I was like a freshman in college. And then I was like, well, that'll do it for music for me. Mm-hmm. And I was like in acting school and I was like, I'm going to be a writer and I'm going to be an actor and that's going to be it. And that's my life, which is obviously not also a great career choice. Not that I'm doing great either way. It's just like, you know,
we're doing fine.
Yeah. But then after college, it's weird. Like I, as soon as school ended, I was instantly searching for I was right back in the music scene. I was like, where can I find people to do this with? And then I had another band, Ash Jesus, that was right before 95 Bulls, that was like only a few years
before The Other Men. I wasn't in bands, but I grew up like going to punk shows and hardcore shows in the Bay Area, and I also went to theater school and was, you know, doing music in that capacity. And I remember I graduated and I went to auditions and I was like, oh my god, I remember the last audition I ever did. I was walking down the stairs from it and there was like the room where everyone was auditioning for American Idiot. And everyone was just like, looking at each other's faces with like green hair clip-ons. And like, it was just brutal. I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore.
Kayla, you and I think talked about this when we like first were like meeting and like hanging out in like a theater background. And there was a moment though where I looked into it and I was like, I don't think I fucking belong here at all. I like it, but damn.
Kayla, I have to ask, punk hardcore shows, Bay Area. You don't know Brace Belden by any chance, do you?
I don't.
Okay.
Different subgenre.
Different subgenre. He's another person in our general like podcast sphere who is also like a punk and hardcore guy. Bay Area would have been like late aughts ish when he was doing that.
Okay. I left in 2006 and I left when I was 18. So I was like a little,
that would, he would have been like right coming up like right around then. In his hardcore band War Crime with a K, of course.
Wow. Yeah. I was about to say, how do you spell it? Cause that sounds crucial somehow to the,
we have to get Brace on to talk about his hardcore days one time. But anyway,
I feel like the benefit of, you know, being in a band versus acting is like acting, you just keep having to audition, and like a band, if you find a good one, it's like no more auditions, just playing.
Yeah. And also I've found that like they can kind of help each other. Like I still act in projects when they come up and I write stuff, but like they do, I don't know, that people, if they meet you and you're performing in your band, they're like, oh, you might be good for this. And I would like to see you in something like this. It helps each other. Not that I don't want to like audition for American Idiot someday. It's just not right now.
You would crush in it.
Thank you, dude. You don't know the wounds that you just healed.
We have like podcast lore with American Idiot, because did we watch the documentary about the making of that musical.
Yeah, we have covered American Idiot on this podcast previously.
Oh, that's right.
What?
The American Idiot.
Wait, okay, Kayla, we have to listen. I'm going to drop this because I got to tell you guys, Butts and I were like big Green Day fans because like it was when him and I were in like fifth grade, and I feel bad pushing this agenda on Kayla because.
But Butts is Zach from the band, right?
Yes. Sorry. I should specify.
I know that because his Instagram handle, I believe, is Z Butts.
That's right.
Yes.
Little booty boy. But yeah, he and I like have a very like an extensive history with Green Day, and we really wanted to do like a very serious and earnest 1 hour Halloween cover set next year.
Oh yeah.
But we'll see if that works out in the grand scheme of our, you know, schedule.
Well, let's go back to your Halloween of this year. You guys did a Devo cover set, right?
Yes.
So was that Our Wicked Lady or was that elsewhere?
That was Knockdown. Right?
That was Knockdown. Oh, so was that for the Halloween Hop? Thing. I've only been to one of those, but that is one of the, I feel like, not so hidden gems of the New York music scene. Is that shit is crazy.
Best party.
Wild. Wall to wall people. It's insane.
Yeah, I was trying to pee before our set, and I was like, I guess happening. I'll hold it.
I saw a bunch of videos of that. It looked great. I'm glad that you guys did one of the classic Devo costumes, the kind of cape things.
You knew.
Oh yeah, I know every Devo look.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. Butts. The
they're like ponchos. They're like big plastic flaps that say like each has like one letter on it.
I was up on my roof spray painting those 15 minutes before we had to be there. 15 minutes into the wind screaming. Okay.
So were you asked to do Devo? Did you volunteer for it?
How does this happen?
We
love Devo, all of us. Oh, yeah. But sorry,
Kate. Yeah, we were talking to Jonathan that puts on the Halloween Hop, and we were like kind of brainstorming, and yeah, we all love Devo and got like the keyboard player, like what a fun thing to just like geek out about.
She killed it too. So.
Yes.
Wait, I believe Chris, I think we were messaging about this and you were like, damn, that's a hard part for Kayla. Like she's got her work.
The gut feeling part. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot, dude. Yeah. Oh, which is
that
my favorite.
So intimidating.
That's my favorite song.
It's great. Ugh. Yeah.
I could go on.
No, I was the one of the most I've missed being in New York since we left was missing you guys play Devo at Knockdown. Would have been great. People who listen to the pod know how much I love Devo.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. So like that was a big transformation. You say that you would also like to do Green Day as a cover. Great.
Era, like, are we talking, you know, do you have songs in particular?
We have not zeroed in on any details yet.
Okay.
Which makes it way more overwhelming. We were just like, let's go as long as we can and hit everything we can. But like, he's going to want Dookie. Like, Butts is going to want, like, it's going to be, you know, we'll see how it goes.
I saw them in eighth grade for the Pop Disaster Tours.
Guitar, dude. Guitar.
Guitar. Do you have a guitar, Kayla, or have you ever messed around with guitar?
I have not, and I would love to, because it just feels like the silliest thing to dance.
When we first getting to know each other, like maybe the first Bulls show I came to after Frequency, I feel like semi-drunkenly after the show was approached you about being like, have you considered doing a keytar? Because I feel like you might maybe thought I was like making fun of you. I've done this to several keyboardists and rock bands. I've been like, more people should play keytar. And I feel like I get a lot of like very skeptical, like, are you taking this seriously, sir? As I'm suggesting.
It just seemed like you would have been delighted by the concept of a keytar being involved. So I appreciate it.
Totally get it. I totally get it.
You know, we're experimenting for this record. Maybe
Maybe it's all we all the progress we've made, we have to throw it away.
I will tell you right now, just last week I ordered a keytar.
You did?
What?
Yes.
Wow, well, this is news to me too.
I got a hot tip from friend of the pod, Dan Beckner, that the Behringer MS-1 synthesizer, which is a clone of an SH-01, which is usually like a $3,000 synth, but was on sale at Sweetwater for $190, and there is a guitar attachment for it. So it's a synth first with a handheld.
Right? Is it still a thing? Valentine's Day is right around the corner, Kayla. I could woo you with this.
I think so. Behringer MS-1, very versatile little synth.
I'm writing that down.
Write it down. That's sick. We're looking for versatile little synths for tour that are less heavy.
I will directly send you the link afterwards.
Cool.
Yeah.
That does lead me into a gear question I had, which is like the organ. You're hauling it around. How, like, what do you need? What needs to happen in order for a successful organ transplant? How do you successfully transplant your organ into the different venues?
You have to store your organs at the right temperature. And, you know, I did finally give up my, I used to just play a Vox Jaguar and a Farfisa. And those I love so much. And there's nothing that compares to that sound. But yeah, lugging those things around and like trusting them on tour, like on the other men. I would like show up to sound check and it was like, well, four of these keys aren't working and I got to get a screwdriver and, you know, pop them, you know.
Oh my God.
Heard of a surgeon right before this.
I do remember like practices like you pop in the hood and then we all would take turns trying to like screw things in and like hoping that someone works, which I thought was kind of part of the charm. You know, I thought it was kind of part of the whole, if that happens on stage, like it takes a village, baby. You know, and then we can ask people to come up and give it a shot.
Well, I remember once as like a theatrical moment, I headbutted it and then one of the keys just stayed down. So the rest of the set, it was just like
flatlining.
So I finally abandoned bringing the organs with me. That's sort of like an at home venture. But right now I use the original Nord Stage. And that one, it's like the organ sounds it has are amazing. And it, you know, it's like hefty, but I just put it in a big backpack and waddle around basically with it. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, a 50-pound backpack.
It's big.
It's a big boy, but
what's the backline situation like in New York right now? Who's got the good backline? Who tries to make you bring your full kit?
Oh, it's always the venues. What I forget is that the biggest venues never have anything for you.
Yes. Mm.
And that makes so much sense. Like, of course they don't. Like, you know, they're like, you have money. And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, what do you think this is? We are not Green Day, you know, anyway.
I think for like the best, I mean, TVI's setup is great. Broadway's setup is really good. Main Drag is a new spot that's
is that a new location for Main Drag? Do they have a venue now?
They're doing a venue.
And it's like it's popping off a little bit.
Can you still do they still have like the synthesizer from that they like that Vangelis used to record the Blade Runner soundtrack in their main like storeroom?
I didn't
Not
know
the
that.
Synthesizer,
I didn't
but know they've that. Got like a cut like a same model of it. You know, they have that like huge like synth store showroom.
Oh yeah. Cause the music. Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know. I've never been there. We were supposed to maybe play a show there recently. We couldn't do it, but I hope we play there soon. But I've just seen footage of it and friends have played there and I'm like, oh, that looks like a pretty sick space that they have now.
I mean, I was partially asking the backline, what's this backline such as a joke, but I guess the realer question is, you know, we just moved away last year, but at the time that we moved, you know, the New York indie DIY music scene was feeling pretty healthy and vibrant. Like there were a good range of good venues at like the DIY level, at the like small indie level. Seemed like a lot of bands still coming to the city, a lot of bands coming out of the city. What is your take on like what's your checkup? What's your health report on the New York scene right now?
I'm feeling real like optimistic and positive about this scene generally right now. I think, you know, I feel like also after the pandemic, things got like lines were able to get blurred a little more where there's less sort of like territorialness over scenes. So there's a bit like flow between them. So you can kind of like incorporate different genres and people aren't going to be like, oh, that's not.
Yeah, totally. I'm no longer like, this is very clearly the punk venue and this is very clearly like indie. Yeah, it's there's a lot more flow. I do agree. And I think also like there's enough to go around is what I'll say, like in terms of band, like the venues aren't like scraping by to get like shows. It doesn't seem like.
Yeah. It doesn't feel cutthroat. It's like, I feel like a supportive scene.
I still am like interested to see, I feel like I've lived here forever and I'm like, where are those like DIY venues? Like the Palace in like Greenpoint that's like no longer there. Like I haven't seen one of those in a long time, unless it's like a one-off, you know, basement show where like they're setting everything up like the day of and you never hear of it again. Yeah, like I haven't seen many like that recently.
There's been little DIY venues, but they all get shut down really fast.
Right. I think that's why it's, you know, and there are so many great venues to like choose from, especially if you're like a starting band, I feel like right now.
Have you played any like house shows like at the basement level as 95 Bulls or are you kind of outside that zone?
No, I don't think we've ever done that. And I would love to do that still.
We got to hook them up with Friendship Quest.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
What's that?
This person.
The sound of it.
Yeah, it's a good. It's
I bet we'll talk to Friendship Quest eventually on this pod.
Oh, yeah, I would love to. Yeah, no, it's a cool person who basically, is just like booking stuff out of. We saw this is a good shout out. I don't know if Sniper from Wasp Factory is still listening to this podcast, but shout out Sniper. Our podcast email got an email. This was a couple years ago now. That's like, I'm going to get right to the point. My name's Sniper and my band Wasp Factory is playing a house show in New York soon. I think they're in Columbus. And I was like, immediately, I was like, sold.
Yes, said.
Like one sentence.
Yeah,
like, I'm in. I'm not going to even listen to your music. I'm sure I'm going to go in and be surprised. But the show was booked by Friendship Quest Booking, which is pretty like basement-y, like heart bar, I think. Anyway, shout out Wasp Factory. Yeah, who we did see in like a Bushwick, you know, kind of just.
The basement of a Bushwick brownstone.
Yeah.
And like to your point.
It made
like,
me feel young. It made me feel young.
Yeah. I mean, so like, to your point, we also lived in New York forever. And there was that like pre-pandemic, and this is going way, way back, you know, that generation of venues that were way scrappier out in like when Ridgewood was first being settled by the band types. The name of that one place is escaping me, but it got notoriously robbed.
No.
And then they couldn't do shows there anymore.
The glove.
Oh, Silent Barn?
Yeah, the original Silent Barn. Yeah.
Oh,
before they got like a little more legit when it was just like a shack out in Ridgewood. Even during that time, I was not going to shows in brownstone basements, you know? And so it was a very particular feeling to go get invited to this show by shout out Sniper at Wasp Factory in the basement of a brownstone in Bushwick, where it was like these hardcore bands from Columbus, as you said earlier, the more fluidity of the scene, the hardcore bands from Columbus who played like the 9 to 10:30 show, and then as they were clearing out, like a bunch of like cyber grind like cyber goths were
it turned into what you know, the meme of like the like German people like raving under a bridge, like it went from like hardcore show to like that in a second, and I was like, this is the craziest bill I've ever seen.
And you know, stuff like, again, I've been going to shows in New York since 2009 and I'd not seen anything like that, and it was very heartening to see stuff like that even as I was like leaving the city, of being like, oh great, this is awesome that there is even now like a new way that show, at least to me, that shows are being done still vibrantly in basements all across New York.
And I love those shows, and I saw one recently like in the fall in like some basement. I was like, oh, I forgot how much I love this, given I hate being in the center of crowds, so I was like hugging the walls and I was like trying to find somewhere to like stand that I wouldn't touch anyone, but like, I loved the spirit of it. You know, I was like, it's hard to find that. I feel like in Portland, remember when we were in Portland, Kayla, we did this like tour in fall. It was like very, it was a run. It was a West Coast run.
Tell us all about the fall tour. Cause that's the first time you guys have really gotten out of the city in a substantial way. I keep a pretty close eye on your guys' schedule. I don't think you'd even done like an East Coast run, right?
No, we've just barely left home.
No, we'd done that Seattle festival the year before, but we went to Seattle and then right back to New York. So this
right
was
right back home. It was woof. Yeah. So this was really nice to be able to do this. And also to return to Seattle and to have people who were like excited to see us and remember us in a new place that we don't know that well felt really lovely. And that Seattle started to feel like a second home in that way too, which was really nice. And it just feels good to play other places.
Yeah. And then in Portland, it was nice.
Oh, yeah.
We had issues with.
This was the one venue we had the whole tour was great. And this one place, I don't even, no one, do you remember? We would like ask people and people were like, or we would tell them to come see us at this one venue and they would just get a look on their face. And they're like, oh, that place.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So we showed up day of for a load-in and the other bands were there too. And we get like an email being like, oh, sorry, maintenance issue, show's canceled. And we're like, what?
And what? All of the bands were just, we just pulled up like to the venue to like load in. And we got that email like as we were loading in and we were like, what the? Oh, and this was shit. I just knocked this mic. It's fine. Noah's playing Halo Wars in the next room if I need him to fix it. This was the part that felt DIY community in a great way was that like we were the touring band in this instance and the rest of the bands were like, fuck it. Like we know like three people that would throw together a house show like last minute. And I was like, where is that in New York? Fuck. Yeah. That's that great. Cool. Like, I don't have, if I was like, can I have a show in your house? People would spit in my face. You know, they'd be like, get out of here, kid. Well,
to be fair, the concept of house is different in New York than in Portland.
People are like, I can't even live in my house. Yeah. I can
offer you half of my second of one bedroom. Yeah.
I can put you guys on the fire escape. Yeah. That is extremely cool. That is very sweet.
Yeah. And it was so nice. Cause they like, they pivoted and a bunch of places said we could like play at their house. And then it ended up being like down the block, like three doors down or something. This place called Bridge City Sessions. It's like a recording studio and like it's
screen printing spot. It was sick.
This is Portland as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Our friend Ross came from Seattle to the Portland show after we finished like our few shows in Seattle. And he just became the door person and he was taking everyone's cash at the door. And he really stepped up for us. It was amazing. He's just this tree of a man who's wonderful. And he was like, he was like, I'll be the door guy. And we were like, are you sure? You're really overqualified? But he did it.
In general, would you say, you know, when you show up to a venue, any venue, when you're playing a show, how do you know it's going to be? Are there any telltale signs where you're like, this is going to be good and go smooth, or like, oh God, we're going to have to like hold it together because this is going to be chaos?
I think I just kind of look at, I don't know. I look to the sound person, see how they're doing, see what their vibe is. Because if they look shook, you know, if they look shaken, I guess I'm a little nervous then too, but otherwise. Yeah.
If they're nervous or they're in like a pissy mood or something, then that's like, oh.
Yeah.
If they look, I mean, I'll share my experiences from like touring, doing our podcast show. Yeah. If the sound or house people look annoyed or confused when you show up, that's always a terrible sign. And for me, it is always when I'm setting up for the show, because we do video and obviously the audio of the podcast, but I have like a video presentation. It's the moment that I plug my laptop into the house video system and it's either like it either like instantly recognizes my laptop and goes up on the screen. I'm like, okay, I don't have to worry about this. It'll be a fine show. Or if it doesn't, it's like, okay, this is going to be at least an hour of hell dealing with this, like the house and like figuring out other solutions to this. And it's going to piss off the sound person and the video person. And then they're going to be annoyed all night. And then,
that's so true.
That's the one for me.
There was one sound person where they were like super grumpy the first time we went. And then the next time we went, they were like super, super nice and super, super friendly. And then we realized like partway through that, like they were tripping the second time. And we were like, well, this also isn't helpful. Like, all right. It's like, you're going to be pleasant this time, I guess.
Yeah.
That is wild. Wow. So
sometimes people just need to, get a little high.
So sometimes they just need to see their knobs just slowly like melting in front of them, and you know, not know which one goes to what. That's cool. Yeah, there should. I'm trying. Of course, I'm in like solution mode now, where I'm like, they should have a sound person who's in a good mood. Like
they should invent a sound guy with a good mood.
Yeah,
they should just like they should take care of their sound person. You know, little acupuncture, little.
Ooh, yeah, a little chair massage.
Issue. Yeah, there you go.
That's how, yeah. Then happy sound, happy wife, happy life, happy sound person, yes. Happy literally everyone else who's in the venue.
Who are your band friends in New York right now? Who you guys like playing with? Who do you like coming up? Who should our listeners keep their eyes out for?
Ooh, okay. Let's see. Well, I mean, I can think of who we've played with just a ton is Dead Tooth.
Okay.
And they're doing really well now too. They're very much on the come up right now.
Yeah, there's a like kind of a it's going to be a cross venues, but like Hank Wood and the Hammerheads, I love. And
so good.
Who is that group? The last time I saw you guys before I left, who is that group that plays in balaclavas?
Hey, yeah, those are my buddies.
What was their name?
Balaclava.
They
wear balaclava. Yeah. So you were dead on with that. You can't forget the name because it's on their face. But they're having an EP release. But that's the one local show that we're playing for the foreseeable future. Is that right, or am I wrong?
That's right.
But they're doing really well, and I work with two of those guys now, which is really funny. Dylan, the singer, and Angus, the bass player. We work in the same building right now, making props for TV and movies.
Cool.
Oh, sick.
Do you enjoy that job? How?
Yeah, I don't know how I fell into this job, but I'm painting, so that's pretty funny.
That's cool.
I'm just painting guns all day. It's weird.
Wow.
But it's not what I thought God had planned for me, but here we are. I'm not religious also.
That rocks. Oh, wait. Now I just have one more question, which is that when you say you're painting guns, is it to paint them to look like, you know, specific types of guns, or to paint them to not look like specific types of guns?
That's a great question. To paint them to look as real as possible.
As real as possible.
I just did my first wood finish on a revolver the other day by myself, which was really exciting. Yeah, it was great. It was cool. I just got to listen to, you know, what was it? Like it was Steely Dan and like some Thin Lizzy and
Guns and Roses. I feel like that would be a good one to paint.
I know.
Guns, not roses.
I could have gone the right direction.
I just listened to your Thin Lizzy episode.
That's a long time ago for the show, but yes,
there is a Thin Lizzy episode. Oh, you told me that. I have to listen to.
That was with Eric Thurm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a very long discussion about like what like the philosophical intent behind the boys being back in town.
Yeah, the many
who are the boys?
Who are the boys? Where are they back from? Like
different ways
to diagram what that idea could mean.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Kayla, I've been listening to the playlist that we've curated a lot just to like stay in that. We curated a playlist together of like some sounds that we like and different elements. Of things that we want to incorporate, like moving forward and people we admire and stuff. So it's been like a lot of like that Thin Lizzy, Lost Sounds, a ton of Lost Sounds. Mm-hmm. And it's been nice. I think of this time painting guns as a reflective,
synthesize the influences into the,
I get to really relax, you know?
Well, let's move into the future portion of the combo. And obviously, not to put any pressure, but what's the timeline on the album? Like, what are you looking at for the rest of the year here for you guys?
Well, we do have, even before the album comes out, we're putting out a single and a video to go with that.
The single that's coming out is, we're just putting out by itself because we've played it out already. It's not a part. It's, you've heard it before. I think actually the last time you were in town, we were playing that. So like, it's not a surprise part of like the big new record that we're working on. So we're probably going to drop that with a fun video that we're piecing together in the next couple months.
Great.
And we'll just put that out by ourselves. But we will see in terms of what we do with the next record and where we go with that. But I think we're aiming to record in like midsummer. So like probably around July. We want to have everything out in the fall.
Okay.
Well, will there be, and like, what level will you be releasing this on? Like, is this for like, are you going to be trying to move units like physically, like or through Bandcamp, or is this like Spotify? Like, what how do you imagine getting this record in front of people?
The single, House of Feelings is putting it out, and we're not doing a physical release in any way. It's going to be just like, it's going to be on, you know, all the digital.
It's digital. That's digital. It. But right. The next, like the record, we would like we'd like physical stuff involved with one. So I think that's also because we've never had that before. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the main question we get from anyone who, for some reason, has heard us in other places that like, or overseas. That's happened a few times too. Like people who are like, they want the physical stuff. And we don't have anything yet.
I want the physical. I know.
I don't even have a record player right now. That's just where I'm at. But yes, I definitely, we're building, guys, but yeah. I I definitely hope for that for our full length.
Which you know, what colorway of vinyl are we thinking for the limited edition? Like,
what? Ooh,
like a pink, purple, cotton,
yeah, candy. Or like the Wonder Bread logo, yeah.
Oh my god, that'd be that's really funny.
I would love that. Yeah,
I would love that.
We'll see.
A beautiful spinning Wonder Bread logo,
exactly,
on a vinyl. I'm rotating
pink.
It in my mind. Yes.
And then
one on one side, one on the other side.
Tour for the record?
Yeah. We're working on that, right? That's being booked. Our we're with Paladin Artists. So Brandon, our agent, he's in LA. So if you see him on the street,
I'll look out for a guy named Brandon.
You won't know him. Yeah, make sure. Do you ask every man on the street?
Every show I will go to, I will just be like, Brandon.
You never know. But yeah, he's awesome. And we're booking a tour now. So it's something to look forward to. And I think that we will be hitting the Midwest for the first time, which is cool.
I think you will be warmly received there.
Thank you. I'm from there, so I really fucking hope so. But we'll see. They might really ostracize me in Chicago and be like, way to leave us. You sound nothing like a Chicagoan.
I'm just wondering what, like, kind of, you know, I feel like any Chicagoan who sees 95 Bulls on a bill is like, well, I got to see what that is.
Yeah.
This is my blood.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be, for me personally, Kayla, maybe the most nerve-wracking city of all of them that we visit, you know?
Oh, I totally understand. We did when we did the Bay Area on this last one, all my like middle school and high school friends came out, and I was like, the most nervous I've been. I was like, oh, like all, it was adorable, but I understand.
That
was fun.
My other future question, besides, you know, the new album, the new tour, do you ever anticipate being number one in the SEO results for searching 95 Bulls? Are we going to beat the team? Are you going to outplay Outlast?
Every year it's a struggle, and I pray before I go to bed every night. And I just stay up Googling us, you know, hoping for the best. And, you know, I don't know what to say. Maybe some vinyl will change the story a little bit.
Yeah, there we go.
Or maybe if we too start playing competitive sports,
maybe if we get the members of the Chicago Bulls to come to our Chicago show.
You should reach out.
Dude, and Tyson Chandler put me on his shoulders at a Benihana when I was a kid. And that's that. And you can take that straight, you know, where you need to. And it's, I'm proud of it. Of course, nobody knows who Tyson Chandler is now. But when I was a kid,
that's a big, that was something. A big deal.
That was something.
That's huge.
Yeah. He was so tall. I think that's where it was. I was apparently I was like quietly crying when I came down.
Long way up.
It was a long way up and down for that matter. And it was a swift down. I remember that. My stomach dropped.
And in a Benihana, of course, you know, there's
fire.
Rice
around,
flying everywhere. Yeah. Shrimps.
Is that why you still have such a deep love of Benihana? We went there for your birthday.
I fucking love Benihana, you guys. Also, when we went for my birthday, the guy who had Kayla, were you sitting? No, you were sitting at a different table, and the guy at the table I was sitting at was wasted. Who was our Benihana server? And oh, you were? Okay. Well, he dropped the biggest knife in the world on the ground, and I was like, "Holy shit!" And I think he was hitting like a handle in the back. It was crazy. Anyway, wild Benihana.
You guys go
experience.
To the one on 50th Street, the flagship.
Yes.
Yeah,
the original, yep. Right?
The original Benihana.
What?
Yeah,
I think it is. I believe it started in Midtown Manhattan.
Sure if they like have totally redone it or anything, but yeah, the first Benihana was Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
What? Whoa. Bananas? I didn't know that.
You guys, you know all the Benihana lore. Like Steve Aoki is the son of the founder of Benihana.
What's
true?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
This is the kind of stuff you learn if you listen to every episode of And Introduce It.
Yeah. I'm not saying you need to. And in fact, you probably shouldn't. But
I want to now. I feel uneducated.
Molly and I are going to Benihana for
Valentine's Day.
See, yeah. you know how to do it. You two know how to do it right.
We could bet.
We're going to go to Benihana. Valentine's Day.
Well, look, next time you guys make it out to LA, book an extra day and we'll take the band out to Benihana.
Oh, done. That sounds amazing.
Yes.
That's also, that Love sounds that. Like a perfect, you know, like kind of Rolling Stone cover story scenario of like, we're with 95 Bulls at Benihana and like something crazy just.
somebody just dropped a knife.
Yeah. I hope old Tyson Chandler is there now.
Still putting you
relive that. And I put him on my shoulders, you know?
Oh my God, it's a full circle.
How beautiful it could be.
Thank you so much for listening to And Introducing. Definitely check out 95 Bulls wherever music is available. You know, places like Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp. We'll put their links in the liner notes. Email us with anything you want to email us at andintroducingpod@email.com. andintroducingpod@gmail.com. Why isn't there email.com? I'll investigate. Our Twitter is @andintropod. The content hub where you can find all our episodes is soundcloud.com/and-intro-pod. If you like the podcast, tell a friend. You know, throw us a nice review if you feel like it, but totally not necessary. We're all just out here living our lives. All right. Thank you for listening. Bye.